Right, now, do you know, who knows what started on Friday or what started this weekend? Any ideas? Olympics, Brenda knows. Okay, the Olympics. Okay, anyone watched the Olympics so far? Some of you have, great, okay. Now, there's some very famous Olympic people. Have you ever played Top Trumps? No, you have to be probably my age. So, well, you have, still around, okay. So with Top Trumps, you have different things and you've got to choose a certain category to see if it's going to win against another person or another card. That's roughly what happens. So I've got three Top Trump cards here. Can you each of you hold one up? So do you want to hold Michael Phelps up? Can we have the sermon on the screen, please, Rosa? Do you want to hold Usain Bolt up? It's probably a bit heavy for you. Okay, and do you want to hold up Laura Kelly? Okay, now, we've got the sermon up. It did work yesterday. Never worked with technology. Okay, we can do this without technology. Okay, so, now, Michael Phelps is very famous because he was an American athlete and he was a swimmer. And he swam and won more gold medals than anyone else, about 28 gold medals, or 26 gold medals and three other medals as well. Laura Kenny, she's won more gold medals than any other female cyclist and any other British athlete in the Olympics, so she's very good. And Usain Bolt, give me the answer. You know what Usain Bolt won? He won the running, so he's got the world record for the fastest 100 metres and 200 metres and won both of those races for three Olympics in a row, so he's very famous as well. So if you're doing Top Trumps, oh, what happened? If you're doing Top Trumps, and the category was cycling, which one would you choose? Hands up if you choose Michael Phelps. No? Hands up if you choose Laura Kenny. Okay, hands up if you choose Usain Bolt. Okay, the answer is Laura Kenny, there you go. She will win the Top Trumps for the best cyclist because she can go so fast on a bike. Okay, next one. If you are having swimming, we're caught up, there you go. If you're having swimming, who would you go for Top Trumps? Would you go for Michael Phelps? Yes, you? Can you swim fast? Okay, good. Would you go for Laura Kenny? No, okay. Would you go for, who was yours? Usain Bolt. Hold it up, that's it. No, okay, yes, and it was, do you want to turn it round? Yeah, it was Michael Phelps. And so if you want to go for running, you would you go for Michael Phelps? No, you're not going to go. Laura Kenny, Usain Bolt. Yay, okay, he'd win you Top Trumps on that. Brilliant, okay. Do you three just want to sit down for a moment? And I have something else for you. Sit here for a moment, because I've got something else for you to do in a minute. Okay, so we could talk about these people as being kind of superhuman. I go swimming in the swimming pool, and I go up and down fairly fast, faster than most other people in the swimming pool. But a few weeks ago, someone got in the swimming pool, and he started going about twice as fast as me and pretty much everyone else. But Michael Phelps, if he'd got in the swimming pool, he'd be about three times as fast as me, I imagine. It's incredibly fast. These guys are human, but they seem to be able to do things that hardly any other or no other humans can do. They're the top of their league. They're the best people at it. They're superhuman. And when we think about Jesus, some people think about Jesus as being a bit sort of like a superhuman person. Clearly, he was a human being, but he was able to do things that seemed beyond what any other human beings could do. He made people that had leprosy, that's a skin illness, clean. He made people that couldn't walk, lame people, to be able to walk. He made someone who had demons in them, a whole legion of demons. He cast all those demons out. He was able to do that. He was able to calm a storm just by speaking to it. He was able to bring a girl back from the dead. And if you're reading through Mark's gospel, all these things happen. The last one that happens before the story that Luke read today was that he fed 5,000 people with just the one packed lunch, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. It's an amazing guy. And he's doing all these superhuman things. He seems to be able to do things that go beyond what anyone else can do. And people are amazed. You know, if Jesus can heal people, we'll bring people that are ill to him. If Jesus can cast out demons, we'll bring people that have demons in them. If Jesus can calm a storm, then we want him in the boat, thank you very much. You know, if he can feed lots of people, fantastic. We want him to be our superhuman friend. But then we come to the story which comes immediately after the feeding of the 5,000. So, which of you wants to be Jesus? Alice, do you want to be Jesus? Do you want to come and stand over here? Stand over here, okay? So people can see you. Right, you two, do you want to be the disciples? Okay, so do you want to come and stand with Alice over here? So Jesus had just fed 5,000 people with this packed lunch, and the people were amazed, the disciples were amazed about that. And then what does Jesus do? He says to the disciples, go and get in the boat and row across to the other side. So do you two want to come and get in the boat here? That's it? Okay, and can you do some rowing? Can you do rowing like that? That's it? That's it, rowing really hard? Good, good. And then Jesus told everyone else to go away. Tell everyone to go away. No? He said, go away. So they all go away to their own homes. And then Jesus goes up on a mountainside to pray. So do you want to go up into the pulpit? Can you manage that? I haven't done a risk assessment. Is that all right, Andrew? Do you want to go up the stairs? Can you peer over the top so people can see you? That's it, okay. And he prayed up there. Do you want to pray? Never work with technology or children. Okay, so he prayed up on the mountain. But after his praying, the night went on, and the disciples were still rowing across the lake. Do you want to keep rowing? Come on. And they kept rowing and rowing, but the wind was blowing really strong. And they couldn't go against the wind. And so they were getting nowhere. They were rowing really hard and getting nowhere. And they had a really long day. They were meant to be going away for a bit of a rest, but they had this really long day instead. And then they've been sent off by Jesus, and they're probably upset about that. And now they're rowing across the lake, and the wind's against them, and they're not getting anywhere. And it's about 3 o'clock in the morning. Who's awake at 3 o'clock in the morning? Okay. I hate to be awake that time. But they're still rowing really hard and not getting anywhere. Really frustrating. And then Jesus sees them. Okay, good. And what does Jesus do? He comes down off the mountain. What was that? And he walks on the water. Can you get up on the water? And he walks, stand up. And he walks past them. Brilliant. There you go. And they stay up there. And they see him, and they think they're seeing a ghost, and they're terrified. Can you do terrified? Can you go, ah? Can you do that? Ah! Peter, brilliant. But Jesus says to them, take courage, I am, don't be afraid. And he climbs into the boat with them. So you don't want to climb into the boat with them? Sit next door to him or something. And it says that the disciples were completely amazed at what Jesus was doing. Now, that's a story that Luke read to us, and we try to make it a bit more dramatic. But I've got 3 quick questions. Okay, so can you 3 hold up a question each? There you go. And the questions are this. Why did Jesus make the disciples go without him? Do you want to hold that one up? Okay. Why does he walk on water? Do you want to hold that one up? And why are the disciples completely amazed? So 3 questions to think about very quickly about this passage, this story. And I'm not going to do them in that order. I'm going to start with the middle one. Why does he walk on water? Okay, so you got that one? Do you want to hold it up so everyone can see? That's it. Hold it up before everyone. That's it. Right, you can turn it round. That's it. Turn it round. And it says, I am. So I think, why does he walk on water? I think because he wants them to see who he really is. He wants them to see who I am in that sense. Who Jesus says, I am. And why does walking on water help to do that? Well, if you think about it, walking on water is a very strange, it's different to all the other miracles. All the other miracles, Jesus is helping people. You know, if you make someone walk again that can't walk, that's helping them. If you raise someone from the dead, that's helping them. If you calm a storm, it stops people drowning. They're all helping people, even feeding the 5,000 and kind of helping people. But walking on the water, it's just showing off really, isn't it? It doesn't really help anyone. So why does he walk on the water? Because he wants to show off. He wants to show them who he really is. He wants to show them that he's more than just superhuman. Actually, something else is going on here. In the Old Testament, there's a book called Job. If you read it, you'll probably just read Job. But it's a book called Job, and this guy Job is suffering a lot, and yet he trusts that God knows better than he does. And in one of his speeches, he starts saying how wiser and greater God is than us, how much greater he is than us. And part of that speech, he says this: God alone stretches out the heavens and treads on the waves of the sea. God alone stretches out the heavens and treads on the waves of the sea. God can walk on water. And Jesus, by walking on the water to the disciples, is trying to show them that here is God with them. And actually, the word, when he says, "it is I," literally it means, "I am." And that's what God said to Moses when Moses asked him, what is your name, God? He said, "I am." Jesus is showing himself to be God. That's the first question. The second question is this one: why were the disciples completely amazed? Who's got that one? Yeah, Alice? Do you want to turn it around and show one? It's got a heart of stone. Heart of stone. Why were they amazed? You see, they shouldn't have been amazed, because if Jesus can feed 5,000 people, then surely he can walk on water. After all, we go back to the Old Testament, God is the one who fed the Israelites in the wilderness and gave them manna in the desert. He made sure they had enough to eat. And God was the one who rescued them by bringing them through the water, through the sea. So if Jesus can feed the 5,000, then surely he can also walk on water. And yet the disciples had a hard heart. They didn't realize quite what all this meant. They didn't realize what Jesus feeding the 5,000 really showed them. And they weren't really realizing what walking on water was really showing them either. They saw Jesus as superhuman, but they didn't realize he was actually God with them. And there's a big difference. And it may be that you're here today, maybe you're here part of the baptism party, and you think, oh, what I'm saying is a load of rubbish. Maybe you're here because you're interested in faith, and you've thought about it a bit, but haven't really thought about it that much. Maybe you've been coming to church for a while, and it hasn't really quite grabbed you who Jesus really is. Jesus is not just someone who can do amazing things. Jesus is actually God with us. And he was trying to show the disciples yet that, but they hadn't quite got it. Their hearts were hard. There's a danger of them just being like everyone else and not really grasping it. But the disciples stuck with Jesus. They kept going with him. And over the coming months and years, they began to realize more fully who Jesus is and what he'd come to do. And after Jesus died on the cross and rose again, they came to really understand who Jesus really was and were able to go and tell others about him as well. And maybe for you, you're here and you don't quite grasp who Jesus is. But can I encourage you to keep seeking? Keep coming to church, keep reading the Bible, keep praying until God enables you to really come to understand who he is. My son, when he was about 7 or 8, we used to pray with the children at night, and every night he'd pray, "God, please give me faith." He was obviously struggling to believe, but he kept praying, "God, please give me faith." And he's got faith now, and he's still going. He's having other people come to faith. If we stick with Jesus, even if we don't really fully grasp what it's all about, stick with it, keep coming, keep finding out more, and your heart will stop being hard, and you'll come to see who Jesus really is. Okay, you three, you're doing a great job. What's the last question? Why did Jesus make the disciples go without him? Okay, that's the last question. So there they are. I mean, they're pretty used to thought, aren't they? They're rowing across the lake, they can't really get anywhere. Why did Jesus make them go without him? Why did he lead them all by themselves? Well, I think because they hadn't really grasped who Jesus was, because they hadn't really grasped the significance of what it was about. They, like everyone else, saw Jesus as someone who had these amazing powers, who was superhuman. If you've got someone who's superhuman, then maybe they can help you do what you want to do. If you've got someone that can feed lots of people, fantastic. I could set up a supermarket and sell all the food. If you've got someone that can heal people, great, I can set up a hospital and they can heal all my friends. And the people there were desperate to be free of the Roman power. They were desperate to have their own kingdom. And so they thought Jesus was going to be the one who they could use for their agenda to get rid of the Romans, to stop paying taxes, and to be free of that. And so, do you want to hold that one up? Just the crown with the cross. So actually, in John's Gospel, it says they wanted to make Jesus king. But Jesus got rid of the disciples because he thought they would want to do the same thing. And then he got rid of the crowds. Jesus didn't want to go along with the crowds. He didn't want to ride on his success. He didn't want to go by their agenda and what they wanted. He wanted to do what God wanted. And so he went up the mountain and he prayed. He prayed to God to make sure that he was in line with what God wants in his life and doing what God wants to keep to his agenda. And it can be tempting for us to sort of use Christianity or religion to fit into our agenda to get what we want. Maybe you might use it to sort of just make yourself feel better or help with your mental health. Maybe you might use it because you feel you'll get richer as a result. Maybe you might use it to sort of bolster your political understanding or ideas. But Jesus challenges us. If he's God, then we can't just use him for our own agenda. Actually, we've got to fit in with his agenda and with what he wants. We need to join his kingdom rather than try and recruit him to our kingdom. So how do you see Jesus? Do you see him just superhuman, great teacher, great miracle maker, good person? Or do you actually see him as God with us? That changes how you relate to him. It changes your life when you fully understand it. And when you do come to understand it, it's a wonderful thing. Because in life, we can so often feel that, like the disciples, we're rowing really hard and not getting anywhere at all. But when Jesus comes among us, then we really find what it's all about. Let's pray, shall we? Father, thank you so much for showing us who Jesus is. Help us to put our trust in him and to treat him as God. Amen.